Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, and I am pumped today to be speaking with the one and only Mr. Preston
Schmidley.
Here we go. I asked him to say that so I wouldn't mess it up. But man, dude, I'm so excited to have you on today. How's it going?
It's going good, man. I appreciate you having me on the podcast.
I'm digging your protective lenses there.
Yeah, you know, it kind of ended up, I look like Ollie G with them, but I'm just trying to save my eyes. So it's like, you know, I'm not sure that I love them yet, but they are protecting me. So, you know, there's that.
Whatever works, man. We got to live through like 150. So it's good. It's good. So, dude, give us the backstory, man. Who's Preston? How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, man. For sure. Well, first of all, once again, thanks for having me, bro. I do appreciate it. So the story is I got really heavy into marketing through insurance. I had an insurance agency. I still have a brokerage, but I started in insurance, knew I needed, you know, to have, you know, marketing systems, sales systems. I didn't know back then what that looked like. I knew I needed something though, because I was sick of door knocking, cold calling, you know, the traditional stuff that just wears on your soul. So I dove into marketing, and it was like a war, like I was on a war path to success. And through that, I ended up meeting some pivotal people that that kind of steered me in the right direction. You know, it's crazy to see how such a small role, and there's a lot of them, I'm sure you have these, but some of these small roles can add up to be such a big lifestyle change. You know, and so through that, I ended up leaving my old, what's called a captive insurance agency. I ended up leaving that behind me. I started a brokerage from scratch. And there was a lot of financial difficulty in that time of my life. And so we ended up, I did kind of a Hail Mary to pay the bills, because up to that point, marketing for me had been a thing I did for myself. And so I ended up using D7 Lead Finder. This is a very long story short, but I ended up using D7 Lead Finder back when it was free to create a list of 4,700 realtors, because I was like, there's a lot of them, right? So I did that to just put together. I was like, I needed a sale, because like I had just gotten a notice on my door saying, hey, bro, you owe us $600 or we're about to cut your power off. You have 2 days to pay it. And I was like, well, shit, what do you do? Right. So I put together this list of 4,700 realtors, and one of them ended up hiring me for $750 retainer.
I'll put this right over here. Thank you.
Right. I paid that shit 2 hours before they cut the power off, bro. And it was such a really intense moment in my life, you know, cause I got to feed the kid. I got to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of responsibility here. And so when that happened and, you know, I don't primarily serve that was like a Hail Mary for me, cause I don't serve the real estate niche, but back then I didn't serve anybody. So I was just shooting in the dark for somebody to be like, you know, to work with me. And so, I ended up getting one client for $750. I paid the power bill, put gas in the tank, put food in the fridge. And it was like a moment in my life where I was like, this is it. This is the direction that my life is going. I knew in my heart of hearts that marketing was my future. And I, you know, from there I just, honed in and, you know, dove in.
I love it, man. I love the stories. Specifically, I love those stories, right? Cause those rags to riches, you know, we were all in the ditch and then we got out somehow and now we're here. That's some of my favorite stories because it's similar to mine for sure.
Sure, man.
So big question. Mm-hmm. How important do you think marketing is to a business?
That question should almost be rhetorical. I think marketing to a business is oxygen to a body. You know, that's marketing has become so much more than it used to be, right? It used to be, people looked at marketing like it was like, you know, the Dan Kennedy approach, which that's still very much, I think that still applies now more than it ever has. But it's also become so much more than that. You know, you have branding, personal branding. There's so much you can do organically to market. There's so much you can do in the paid world to market. I think that marketing is not optional. It's we should almost stop calling it marketing. It should just be called being in business.
Yeah.
That's my opinion of the necessity of it, just because if you're not marketing, I think that it's incredible if you're able to maintain success for any length of time. I mean, I think you could get lucky selling to family and friends, right? But if you're not marketing, I can only imagine a flame without oxygen dies out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of a dumb question for sure, but I always like asking it to get everybody's perspective.
Well, I don't think it's dumb. I mean, I think it's easy for you and I to sit here because I'm sure people that, you know, and I used to be this guy, right? You know, it's like, well, it's easy for you to say, bro, you know, but it's like, well, okay, well, we've cut our teeth in this. We're used, you know, we like the taste of our own blood at this point. We're used to, you know, trying and failing, finding what succeeds and then leveraging that to get further. And now we try and fail more, try and fail. You know, you and I are used to getting our teeth kicked in. I think for somebody who looks at marketing from the outside, they don't know what to do. I think it's a very legitimate question. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're listening to this and you're not doing marketing and you're kind of like, well, should I do it or should I not? And if I do it, what do I do? Even just committing to something and you don't know what it is better than being scared and not diving in, because really marketing in any form is necessary.
You know? So many people in the solopreneur space, you know, real estate agents, insurance agents, loan officers get caught up in being those things.
Right.
I think is a huge distraction in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of people go into business to be the thing that they went into business to be, right? If I want to be a real 100%. Estate agent, I want to be a real estate agent, but what so few understand is that to be the best real estate agent in the space, you have to be the best marketer in the space. You have to be the best salesperson in the space, which allows you and propels you into doing more of what it is that you actually love. So it's this huge kind of paradigm shift that a lot of people just haven't adopted. You get, and I think it's true in every niche. Like if you paint a lot and you love painting, but you're horrible at selling your paintings.
Right.
You know, you're never going to be an artist that's well known, or, you know, like we have a development team and we also are talking to the CTO, like, look, if you are the best developer in the world and we know a lot of them, but you have no clue how to sell your product or market your product, it's never going to matter. Like,
right. Well, and the painting is a great example. I mean, that's an example I think everybody can connect with. Dude, you and I have seen shit on walls for $60,000 that it just looks like somebody just took a can and threw stuff at it. And you're like, how did this is really? Yeah. And then there's people that like stay in their basement and they work on like life. Like, it's like, wow, I never would have thought this would be a piece of art. And nobody buys it because they didn't know it existed. Right. So I just did a presentation, a speech on what I call the name of the speech was How to Think Like a Marketer When Selling Insurance. And, you know, obviously it's one of my primary niches that I serve. And it's so pivotal, whether it's real estate, whether it's insurance, whether it's mortgage, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a widget. It could be a timeshare. I don't care. The more you start to think like a marketer and you think of what you do, like it's just the product I sell, right? My job is to sell. This just happens to be the product. I don't care what it is, right? And if that's the mindset you take, you could paradrop anywhere in the nation. And once you hone those skills, and I'm sure you could sell insurance and I could sell real estate. And that's not because you're an insurance person. It's not because I'm a real estate agent. It's because we focused on selling and marketing first. Right. And we just happen to have a product. Right. Yeah. And when people adopt that mindset, I think it really expands their life to the possibilities that it's so much more than real estate. It's so much more than insurance. Now, obviously sell that. But you need to really be successful at getting that message out, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. So let's say we buy into these theories. I mean, somebody's listening to this like, okay, I'll bite. What are 1, 2, 3 things that I could do to become a better marketer starting today with zero experience, moving down the path to becoming, you know, really proficient, maybe even mastering it one day? You know, what are the top couple of things that I could do to kind of head down that path?
Yeah, I think the first is find a mentor. And then this is the part that most people don't talk about. Find a mentor and a mentee that you want to be on the journey with, right? And I don't care if you're like, well, I don't know anything. How could I have a mentee? Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your 7-year-old child. I don't care. Have somebody that you can regurgitate the things that you're learning to. And the reason for that is one of the fastest ways to become excellent at something.
Absolutely.
Too many people focus on learning. But teaching is the real, that is where you really get into the sandbox of learning. And so it's like find a mentor and a mentee. That's stage one. Stage two is give yourself time to dive into stuff. I see too many people that it's like they're like, well, I know I need this, but then they don't dedicate the time. You know, I know you, I can only imagine, I don't know you terribly well, but I can only imagine from watching your journey. I mean, you're incredibly diligent on an email list in an age where most people go, yeah, emails don't work. It's very much alive and well, right? You proved that time and time again. You know, it's like, we have to be willing to spend the time to practicing. It's just like riding a bike. It's just like basketball. If we want to play on the court, we got to practice, you know, we have to be willing to spend the time to perfect the shot. And so, you know, by reading the books or whatever, you have to dedicate time. So I would recommend first, mentor and mentee. Second, a lot, and this is arbitrary, right? Because everybody's journey is different. Everybody's availability is different. But if you can do a minimum of 60 minutes a day, reading a book, watching YouTube, I mean, we're in an abundance. We're in an overload of content. Content is not the issue anymore. If you're using content as the excuse for not succeeding, that's a you problem. The resource is everywhere. You're just not being resourceful. And they're free. There's so many free resources to get started, right? So money's not even an issue anymore if you really want the journey. So mentor, mentee, dedicate the time, and then truly dive in, right? I always tell everybody, commit to something for at least 90 days. That's the minimum. Because the first 30 days are easy because you're excited. The last 30 days are easy because you see the finish line finally. But it's those middle 30 days where most people quit because they no longer get excited and they no longer see the finish line. They're stuck in the mud. And that's where most people go, screw it. This isn't what I want. You know, this isn't easy. This isn't fun. It's none of the good things in that middle 30 days. But that 30 days is where the growth happens. It's where the breakthroughs happen. It's where the mindset shift happens. It's where you actually start to see, like, the wheels start to turn, the things start to produce, you know? And so that's why I always tell people, if you're going to do this, commit for 90 days minimum, because if you're willing to see through those middle 30 days, that's when you start to have life-changing events.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's a great illustration of what somebody should do. And the commitment people should have. We live in an age of immediate gratification. Like, I just want to do something and I want it to work right now. And right. Unfortunately, you've got so many, you know, gurus out there, quote unquote, are saying that you could basically get rich overnight, which doesn't exist. But you know,
I think that you're a great example of this, though, Grant, because you know, like for your listeners, let's say the real estate audience, right? Which I'm assuming that's the bulk of the people that are following you, right? Mm-hmm. Just due to what you do, like they could be looking at you for free just through your emails, studying your emails. What is your cadence? What is your message? Like, obviously through that, you're at some point trying to sell something. We're all trying to sell something. They're trying to sell something, right? So it's like, obviously you're trying to make money, but you're also providing a ton of value in there. It's like, well, okay, what is the ratio of ask to give? What is the cadence? How many, how often, what times? There's so much free education just in watching you for free that they could do. I mean, obviously hiring you would be the fastest way, but I'm just saying there's like, if they just shift their mind to go, what can I learn from these emails? Instead of going, ugh, I'm being sold. Of course you're going to be sold everywhere. There's billboards. Everybody's trying to sell. There's messages everywhere trying to take money. But if people actually just study what you do, your content, everything about it, people would be able to some degree follow in your footsteps, even if it's not the same thing, and go, well, I want to do something like what Grant's doing for my real estate clients. Or, you know, it's like, it's proven you're doing it and you're able to feed your family. that means something.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's a great lead. And I appreciate the kind words there. Leading into like the next question, somebody bites and says, okay, I'm going to take these steps and I understand I have to add quote unquote value in the service industry, insurance, real estate, any of those types of businesses. What is value? Like, how do I create value in the marketplace around these things? Like, what are some things that I can do to actually create value?
No, that's great. So I think content is important, but more important is entertainment. Because like I said, we're in content overload. Like, it's not, it used to be, right? Because I think it was in, what is it, 2 or 4 years, one of the two, we produce more data than the human race had produced from 2001 and before. Like all of human existence up to 2001, which is insane, is as much data as like 2 or 4 years now, right? So it's like we're in content overload. Noise is everywhere. You have to be the noisiest or at least projected the most specifically noise to be able to stand out from all everybody else. So what I would say is, and this is just an easy formula, because a lot of people get stuck on chatbots and automation and, you know, virtual assistants and Facebook or YouTube or Google, or, you know, what platform should I advertise on? Should I do paid or organic? Like, I get it. It's overwhelming if you're starting off. The easiest thing that somebody could do is be present. And the way that you start doing that is, first of all, make your social profiles public. You know, if you have family photos, you don't want strangers to see your kids, make those specific posts private, or friends or whatever, right? But you have to look at your business like it's the equivalent of having a brick and mortar, but being like, I only want my friends and family to walk in. That's insane. That's insane. I make so much money on my personal page. So first is make your public profiles actually public, right? And then second is, I always do a formula of you need three things, and it's on rotation, right? The ratio is up to you, but you need these three things, because people need to know, like, and trust you. So first is, what do you love to do in business, right? So for real estate, let's say somebody loves to sell a certain style of home, or maybe in a certain area, or better yet, maybe it's like a certain like home size. Maybe they like dealing with an affluent audience, right? So they're like a high value, high net worth type of clientele. That's like their market, right? Well, then literally do only that, or at least communicate only that, right? If you got to pay your bills by taking whatever deals in front of you, then do that. But only communicate what you're doing in the high affluent market. Cause that's first, cause people will start to attract, that'll start to attract that audience, right? And when people can start to connect with you, oh, this is the affluent realtor. Okay, great. You know, it's like those people will start to come to you. That's first. So you have to start projecting the type of information that you want to be your ideal business. Cause if you sell whatever's in front of you and you start saying yes to everything, you eventually will have to say no to the things you really want to do, because you're at bandwidth with the shit that you said yes to that you're not passionate about. Mm-hmm. So you have to intentionally build your dream life. So first, post about what is most, the thing that if you could do for the rest of your life, you would love it. That's first. Secondly is, post about the thing that you're passionate about outside of work, right? So for me, it's traveling. Like, I want to get my private pilot license this year. So you're going to start seeing a lot of that from me. I'm going to be connecting with a lot of people like that are similar, right? So I'm building a circle of people that are now affluent and they love the things I love. It's a pretty good life to live. The third is the thing that you can't live without. Like, it's the thing that you need, just like oxygen, blood flow, any of that, to be able to maintain your life in integrity. So to some people, that's a God or faith, right? I'm agnostic. So for me, that's family and friends. But it doesn't really matter. It's the one thing you need that without it, you might as well perish, right? And you need to communicate that. And it's not like it has to be one or the other, right? I gave an example when I did my speech the other day. I had a guy in the audience that he was talking about, he had his faith is his, and he likes to travel. And he's an insurance agent that prefers selling life insurance. So I was like, dude, you could totally intertwine all three of those into a story if you want, right? And it doesn't have to be expensive. Maybe you can't afford to travel. So maybe you just go two towns away from where you normally live, and, you know, you make a post and you go, hey guys, we traveled over to, I don't know, I'm just going to give an example from my area. We traveled over to Yakima because we heard that they had the finest, you know, Merlot in the entire state. And so we're here at dinner table, and it totally reminded me of something I read in Corinthians recently. I don't read the Bible, so I'm not going to quote it too heavily. But something I read in Corinthians recently that really reminded me of the value of protecting your family and how to do that properly, right? Like, I literally just intertwined travel, faith, and life insurance all in the same post. So it's about being present and these are the three things. Just keep these in rotation, and you'll over the course of a year, if you do this like clockwork, you know, in and out every week, at least have these three posts. You will attract the right audience to you, and it will grow your business. And this is totally free. Just post about the one thing you love to do in your work, the one thing you love to do outside of your work, and the one thing you require as a human being. Make sure that they're publicly shareable, and you'll start to attract an audience that, you know, that will be willing to pay you money. They're the right type of crowd. They're the type of crowd you need to deal with. Most people sell to the wrong type of audience, right? So
I love it, dude. I love it. There's a bunch of fire mixed in there. So tell me about your book. You just came out with your new book. What can you tell us about that?
Oh man, it's in the other room. So yeah, it's called If I Were You, and it's very suggestive, as you can see. It's essentially if I were the other person, you know, reading the book, there's a bunch of If I Were You type stuff. I wrote it in linear fashion to where somebody, if they have no idea what to do, they're a scratch agency, they can you know, they can essentially start from page one, go to page 229 and go all the way through, and it's going to make linear sense. But I also broke it up into three chapters, Tim Ferriss, like, you know, where it's three main components. There's there, the first part is about money. The second part is about time. And the third part is about scaling consistently. Because those are all different problems for different agencies, right? So if somebody is having problems generating revenue, we'll just dive into that part of the book first. If you're having problem being, you know, having time and being available with your family, you can dive into the time part second. And then if you're like, man, I'm making money and I have some time, but like my business has been like this, well, then you should probably jump into the scaling part. You know, that's, so I made it so it's kind of like a go-to guide. Like if you need a certain thing, you can go right there. But if you have no clue what you're doing, you could just read all the way through and have success. It's been incredible, bro. The feedback I've gotten, I didn't expect for it to blow up the way it blew up. I just wanted to give value to people that might've been in a similar situation to that I was in. But like when we did the book release, I didn't have enough books. People were coming up to me crying, like, you changed my life. I'm emotionally not equipped for this right now. I didn't know that this would be like this. So yeah, dude, it's been incredible, man. I'm just trying to help as many people as I can this year through that book.
That's awesome, dude. I love it. I love it. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on here, because I know you're a giver. And today you gave us a ton of really good information, really good, valuable tax strategy, something that somebody could have listened to this and go off and implement. And that's the purpose of the show, man. So we really appreciate you dropping by here today. I know you're a busy guy.
Of course, bro.
If somebody wanted to connect with you, do business with you, whatever, like what's the single greatest way for them to connect?
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly love to connect with people on my personal Facebook. I mean, we have a marketing agency, so I'm pretty much always there. So, you know, if you want to go to, you know, facebook.com/ Preston Loves Marketing, you know, I would be happy to have you as a friend. And, you know, if I can provide any insight or help on your journey to success, I'd be happy to do so.
Awesome. We'll leave that in the show notes, guys. Make sure that you connect with Preston. Make sure that you stop what you're doing right now. You go buy some of his books, buy five copies, hand them out.
Buy five copies.
Yeah, buy five copies and hand them out to your friends. Preston, man, thank you so much for stopping by the show today. I invite our audience, dude. We really, really, really appreciate it.
And yeah, man.
Guys, thank you for listening. We will see you on the next episode of the Marketing Genius Podcast. Peace.
Take care, guys.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.